Hi there, thank you very much for joining us on The Sweet Spot. It's the Racing Post's weekly fix of golf chatter and betting wisdom with Bruce Millington and Steve Palmer. We're looking ahead to four tournaments over the course of the next half hour, or 20 minutes if you watch us in times 1.5 playback speed. And we'll have a little recap on last week as well. First of all, though, Steve, quick pleasantries. How are you? Why have you donned a hat today?
I didn't have a time to style my hair. As you say, four tournaments. It's been all go. And I didn't want to come on here looking like a scarecrow, so I put the Tiger Woods cap on.
Righty-ho. Fair enough. We'll have a quick look back on last week. Probably one for the bookmakers, I would have thought, as it was at Royal Ascot, all those long shots. And the long shots winning in the golf, Tristan the Piston Lawrence, hero of the Sweet Spot. He won the BMW International at 90-1. And Keegan Bradley won in America at 80s. And I'm not sure what price Ruanang Yin was to win the USPGA, the women's. What price was she, Steve?
That's a great question that I hope you wouldn't ask me.
I think it's fair to say she was ruining quite a lot of punters there, wasn't she?
Absolutely, yeah.
I've got a quick takeout from last week, if I may go first, Steve. And it's just that with golf, you can look at courses and who it's going to suit and which style of play. But I suppose last week in the BMW, you had a real clash of styles there, didn't you? The last two standing were Lawrence, who's big powerhouse, and Justin Lauten, a little fiddly player who sort of, you know, plots his way around courses. So it does show that sometimes there isn't a predominant style that gets it done. It can just be the guy who plays the best golf and shoots lowest, can't it?
You're absolutely right. I mean, I don't know if you heard the expression, but there's more than one way to skin a cat. You saw Nordeich.
Do you think I would have gone 56 years without hearing that expression? That would be very strange, wouldn't it?
That's it. And Mooch and Eichenride was being skinned in various different ways last week. My take, if you will, is that I might throw the form book out the window when it comes to the DP World Tour, because you get so many DP World Tour events now where the player has played badly for a really long time. And then they suddenly show their true ability. You know, we had Dale Whitnell do that the other day in the Scandinavian Mixed. And then, Lawrence was in tears. Did you see his post-round interview?
I didn't know.
He cried like a baby. He was just letting it all out, because he just says, I've just been missing cuts and playing so badly. And then, suddenly he clicks into gear again. So, to go in at 100-1 in a field of that quality, he's one of the best players in that field. He's gone off 100-1 because he's had a few months of poor form. So, I think the old form is temporary. Ability is permanent. I might just slightly tinker with that famous saying.
Not heard of that.
Form is temporary. Ability is permanent. I think that's. Okay. I think we need to learn from this. I mean, you felt for Joust, didn't you? You felt for Joust.
It was a pitiful little putt he missed at 17, wasn't it? As spoken like a man who backed him, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, only one birdie on Sunday, 74. He's been poor in contention lately. You know, he seems to have lost his ability to hold himself together in contention. Yeah.
He used to be all right, didn't he? He used to be able to get over the winning line perfectly well.
Prolific winner in low grade events like that one, but it gets us all in the end. Sami Valimaki, I mean, tied for sixth place going into the final round. I was very excited about picking up some healthy place returns there, but he missed a short birdie putt on the third, went pin chasing on the fourth and found water. Yeah, very fine margins. This is my other take from it. We're all about takes, aren't we? Very fine margins in golf betting, because he missed a short birdie putt on the third and then went pin chasing on the fourth, found the greenside water trap. Yeah, I don't think he would have been as aggressive on the fourth had he not, if he'd made that putt on the third, double bogey on the fourth. And I think he would have placed if he hadn't have, if he'd made that putt on the third. Very fine margin, thin margin.
Well, it wasn't a very fine margin in America, though, for the Travelers Championship. Keegan Bradley pulled clear very early on Sunday. And for those of us who wanted to just sit back and enjoy Elton John at Glastonbury without having to flick across to golf coverage, it was actually quite a relief. Now, I know that it did begin to look slightly close towards the end, but basically Keegan Bradley, like I say, 80-1 at the start of the week, he won fairly comfortably. What can we learn from that?
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed Elton John. I mean, you wouldn't Brilliant. Have noticed then at one stage Patrick Cantlay got within three shots with three holes to play, so I was still quite
I did notice that because I just did notice on that. Yeah, I did notice that, but
because Bradley was threatening to throw it away. He was getting a little bit twitchy, but then Cantlay bogeyed 16, missed a short birdie par 17, bogeyed 18. So, yeah, very disappointing finish. But if you'd offered me 19 under par currently at the start of the week, I would have had to have taken it, really, because that would have been enough to win the last 11 editions of the Travelers. You know, shows how well Bradley played superbly to reach that total. He doesn't normally putt well. Number one for putting last week. In his home event, you know, he was overcome with emotion because it was his home event. But another one, humdrum form, you know. Humdrum form, throw the form book out the window. Go on, get it, launch it.
Okay. I will. Did you have a Glastonbury highlight or did you devote yourself to golf last week?
I didn't see much of that. I feel a little bit like I read the Lana Del Rey story. I feel a little bit like her because she came on with her hair still being done, didn't she? That's outrageous, isn't it?
Yeah.
So she's turned up half an hour late by all accounts. And then when she has turned up, she's still got the stylist working on. I mean, maybe I should have done that today, got the gel out while I was on the sweet spot. But no, I didn't catch much of that. No, you know me, the ultimate
Elton
professional.
John was brilliant. Elton John
was he really?
Oh, he was excellent. Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, 76. Yeah. I mean, who wouldn't want to still be going strong like that at 76? It was marvellous.
Yeah, all credit. He probably thinks he was brilliant as well, and he's got a bit of an ego on him.
I don't know about that. No, I thought it was excellent. A huge crowd. Going back to the golf, I did see one nice little clip of Keegan Bradley's children, who are obviously very well brought up, very polite, saying great job, Mr. Reevey, to old Chez. That was nice.
Yeah. That is nice. Yeah. Yeah. He said winning when you've got family around is like, in a different stratosphere to winning before he had kids. Like, yeah. All credit for him to hold himself together because that meant a lot to him.
Should we look ahead now?
I think we should. Rosé Zhang did all right in the we're going to be big Rosé Zhang fans in future. Finished eighth. Next major we'll be looking forward to back in here again, I should think.
Well, I think that's week after next. And this week though, we've got the Rocket Mortgage Classic in America. We've got the British Masters, which thankfully after many weeks of moribund stagnant field, same old faces, has a sprinkling of stardust. We've got Liv are back, Liv Valderrama, and we've got the US Senior Open. So plenty to be getting on with. We'll start with the Rocket Mortgage Classic. A sad irony that at a time when everyone's mortgage payments are rocketing, that they're the sponsor this week. But we'll focus on the golf. And here are the latest indicative prices. Tony Finau heads the field at 12-1. Ricky Fowler's 14, Colin Morikawa and Justin Thomas are 16. Then at 18, we've got Max Homer and Hideki Matsuyama. 20-1, Sungjae Im and Tom Kim. 28-1, last week's winner, Keegan Bradley, 33 bar. So it's kind of grade 1.5, I suppose you might call it. Not quite top tier, but loads and loads of really good names. Wide open, where are they playing and what kind of player might this one suit?
Yes, the Rocket Mortgage Classic in association with Kwasi Kwarteng. It's at Detroit Golf Club, Minnesota, 7,370 yards, par 72, 4 par 5s, an absolute doddle. Average winning score, 23 under par. We've been playing here since 2019. We've got sunny and calm weather this week. It's chocks away. Last three winners, Bryson DeChambeau, Cam Davis, Tony Finau. You know, this layout can be overwhelmed by a classy powerhouse. 156 runners going to post.
Okay, right then. How many tips have you got this week, Steve?
3.
Righty-ho. Will we be finding out today whether you've gone with the carry-on or the traditional 4?
We won't, actually, no.
We won't. Okay. If we did, what would you be going with?
It's a good question.
There was mixed opinion on the comments last week. Some people quite like the new, slightly sort of sinister, creepy 4. Yeah. And other people hankered for the good old days of a lusty 4.
Well, it was a mixed reaction. Maybe it depends on my sort of happiness levels. I do the creepy one when I'm a little bit flatter.
Okay, fine. Right then, well, we've got 3 this week. So lead on. Who is your main selection?
Ludwig Åberg.
Go on, Ludwig.
45-1 is the best available currently. Let's not mess about. Clearly going to win early in his PGA Tour career. He's got all the tools to become a superstar. He's not even young. This is the point we must make. He's not even young in modern golfing terms. You know, he chose to see out his college career. He's starting on the PGA Tour at the age of 23. He won professional events, Nordic Golf League in 2020, as we've discussed. Then he became the dominant force in amateur golf. Yeah, this is a future world number one. I won't offer to eat my pants on that one. I've made enough offers of pants eating. He's played four PGA Tour events this year. He's finished in the top 25 in three of them. This week's venue, for me, is the most suitable course he's faced in his short PGA Tour career. He can overwhelm it with his power. And it's a humdrum field, isn't it? I thought you were quite generous with your rating there. Yeah, it's a humdrum field. He'll fear nobody in this lineup. Yeah, I think
that's not humdrum, is it? I mean, humdrum is when Sungjae Im's favourite, and wow, yeah, it's pretty good.
I'm going to make that noise until you stop talking. Wow,
right, go on.
So yeah, I think Ludwig Backers will be playing "Ode to Joy" on Sunday. That's
brilliant.
A little Beethoven reference there.
Yeah, right. I rated that very good.
Like "Ode to Joy"? It's a good song. There.
Is it? I don't like any.
My plays it on a recorder. That's how I know about it.
Really? I to join the recorder.
Mm.
Okay, thanks. Right then. That's a terrible instrument, that, the recorder, isn't it? Oh, God.
It gets kids into instruments, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. I know.
Start the triangle, move on to the recorder, and then before you know it, you've got a trombone in your hands.
Excellent. Is she musical?
Loves the game. Oh, yeah. Brilliant. Yeah. She wants to be a performing artist. We had Big Me Day the other day. Have you had a Big Me Day where you go into school dressed as what you want to be in your career? It's a great idea, isn't it? In my day, that sort of fun didn't happen at school. You know, as I was telling, it's all about chains and like math. Now they have things like that. And I actually went and did a talk that day. It's just a long story. You might not be interested in.
I'm very interested in that. You did a talk to school about becoming a degenerate gambler.
I did. Well, I had to leave betting out of it. I went to talk about being a sports journalist.
Oh, brilliant.
I had to be really careful not to talk about betting, because obviously all the parents would be angry as anything if I introduced betting to their 8-year-old kids. But it went okay. I was just a little
bit. Did you have them in the palm of your hand?
I was annoyed with the policeman. This is actually a long story. Policeman.
I'm here for it. Go on.
Okay. So I went in there, I had a 1 p.m. slot. I was going to talk about sports journalism. I thought I'd be quite excited about that. When I was in the waiting room waiting to go into wherever I assumed would be the assembly, two policemen came in, sat down next to me, really awkward. I sort of worked out they must be here to do a talk to. So the policemen, this is sort of like Glastonbury times, but the policemen get the main stage. They charge into the assembly hall with a big crowd. I get ushered off just to the year three classroom, like the sort of minor
stage. The other stage, are you?
I couldn't believe it. Yeah, the policemen were considered like they were lords, you know.
How did the classes split up? Was it absolutely standing room only in the main hall, and then you've got like three people sort of looking at their phones while you're trying to infuse them?
Yeah, I was like one of the rising stars from a lesser stage at Glastonbury, and I was really deflated because I prepared well for it. And the police, one of the policemen couldn't even speak properly. He'd just been to the dentist in the waiting room. I was trying to do pleasantries to him, and he goes, "I'm just been to the dentist." There I am with props. I had props. I had armbands from the Open Championship. I put a lot of effort into it. And then all I had was the year threes. But hopefully some of them want to become sports journalists.
Oh, well, you did your best, mate. Excellent. Yeah. Let's bring this back to the Rocket Mortgage Classic then. So we've got Ludwig Åberg as your main selection. Who's the big danger?
It's Cam Davis, who I know I tip a lot. He's 33-1 for this. And he won this tournament 2 years ago, which was his maiden PGA Tour title. Like Åberg, textbook swing, effortless power. Davis won the 2017 Australian Open. He won the Korn Ferry Tour in 2018. His career has progressed nicely. Yeah, he's always making advancements. And this year, best ever majors performance. Do you remember how he played in the USPGA last month? Finished fourth in the USPGA. He's had a bit of a lull since then, but a fine around 63 in the Travelers Championship on Sunday. I think that's going to be the spark that gets him contending for titles again.
Okay, jolly good. And who's the third tip?
It's Justin Suh, who was available at 70-1 for this. He's made five cuts in a row, still not getting any respect. 26th in the USPGA, 27th in the US Open. Earlier this year, fifth in the Honda Classic, sixth in the Players' Championship. Yeah, always destined to become a superstar. He's cemented on the PGA Tour now. Former world number one amateur, Korn Ferry Tour player of the year last season, and one of the best putters in the business. I mentioned the low scoring. I mean, we're certain to get a low scoring week. Sir has got the ability to make dozens of birdies. He's so good on the greens. And this is the first time he's come to this tournament in good nick. Two previous visits, he had fitness and form issues. He's in great shape for this one.
Okay, cool. Right, I'm not going to mess around with any more ado. We're going to go straight across to the British Masters, right?
No, fair enough.
Okay, right then. So British Masters takes place at the Belfry. I played there about 6 weeks ago and can report that if you hit it 190 yards off the tee, you're going to be in all sorts of trouble. But thankfully, this lot hit it a bit further. Particularly Justin Rose. Yeah, Justin Rose. We've got a big name on the European Tour, which is fantastic. And not surprisingly, he heads the market. In fact, you'd probably contend there's two big names because your beloved Minwoo Lee is playing as well. So it's 9-1 Justin Rose, 12 Minwoo Lee, 14 Adrian Meronk, 18 Jordan Smith, 25 Alexander Bjork, 28 Robert McIntyre, 33 of those. Steve, tell us all about the Belfry.
The Brabazon course at the Belfry, Sutton Coldfield, England, 7,336 yards, par 72, three par fives, 12 par fours. The Brabazon has hosted Ryder Cups, 2002, the most recent, and loads of DP World Tour events. The British Masters form is from 2006, 2007, 2008, 2021, 2022. We had a UK Championship there in 2020, and we had the British Challenge on the Challenge Tour in 2021. As you well know, loads of water on this track. Yeah, it's a real grind. Focus on strong ball strikers. Decent weather, but a bit breezy on Sunday. 156 going to post.
Okay. A very overplayed golf course, I must say. We have the Ed Chamberlain golf day there, and obviously it's for charity, so I'm not going to start ripping into the venue. And it's obviously beautiful, and it's a pleasure to play some of these places, but a fair bit of wear and tear on the greens, I would say. So, on the fairway, so I don't know if people might find the odd untimely divot or what, but anyway, there you go.
Is it because it's so central? You can get there, yeah, from the north, you can get there from the, exactly, south, so that's probably why people love
it's very
it,
accessible, they? Yeah, absolutely. And it has got probably three or four superb, iconic, brilliant holes. I mean, 10's amazing, 18's terrific, so yeah, fair play. I'm sure it'll be a brilliant week. How many tips?
Three.
Okay, who do you like the most?
I love Adrian Meronk at 14-1, who can cement his place on the European Ryder Cup team by winning at the Belfry on Sunday. We all want to see little Meronky become the first Pole to play in the Ryder Cup. I'm feeling very confident we're going to get our wish. The Belfry, long, punishing track. The driving ability of Meronk stands him in great stead there. He made his course debut in 2021 British Masters, finished third. Magnificent over the weekend of that event. One shot shy of the playoff. Since then, he's won the Irish Open on a similar course to the Belfry. He's won the Australian Open. He's won the Italian Open. Far more confident player these days. I can forgive his miscut last year. He was still a maiden then, and he was on a frustrating run of near misses. Now the silverware is flowing. He's inside the top 50 of the world rankings. His future's bright. I think he's going to show everyone how well-suited he is to the Belfry. Meronk's form figures from his last three starts in regulation DP World Tour events. 1-5-3. Missed the cut in the Canadian Open by a shot. Missed the cut in the US Open by a shot. Who cares? Come on. Quality fields. He's playing superbly. Only one icing on the cake. Well, final point, because I know I can sense you're in it. You really want us to speed up, because we're very slow.
No, I'm fine. We wouldn't have had the police story, would we, if we were on the hurry up?
No, that's true. Okay, I'll relax. Only one player outscored him in the final round of the BMW on Sunday. Yeah, so yeah, little Meronky's playing superbly. Yes, jump aboard.
Great. Sorry, no, I'm certainly not giving you the hurry up today, Steve. You go at your pace. You dictate. It's your show. Right, then who's the main danger? Come on.
It's Jordan Smith at 18-1, who like Meronk, is in total control of his swing. He's finding the sweet spot every time, churning out greens and regulation. Smith was sixth in the European Open at the start of this month. His next tournament was the US Open, 20th in the US Open, closed with a 66 at LACC. Only three players in the field could better that Sunday round from Smithy. We know he's one of the best ball strikers on the DP World Tour. Belfry, the perfect place to show off that skill for me. His British Masters form figures are 17-21. We were on him for this last year. He had lots of aqua trouble on the Saturday, broke my heart in two, but only four players outscored him on the Sunday. So I'm going in again. Yeah, yeah, they're rock solid each way bets. Yeah, we must mention the each way terms. Yeah, there's a lot of 10 places out there. Yeah, and these boys are ripe for each way bets.
Don't forget, though, it's really important. Don't just be beguiled by the number of places. Take care. Pay attention to that fraction, because some 10 will be accompanied by a seventh the odds. So you've just got to be very, very careful. Okay, the fraction is as important as the number. Do you agree, Steve?
Yeah, that's a catchy one, isn't it? The fraction is important as the number.
Yeah. Okay. And who's our final selection for the British Masters?
Richard Mansell, 55-1 Richard Mansell, Nigel to his friends, who is from this neck of the woods. He knows the Belfry like the back of his hand. The course sets up wonderfully for him. It's a big boy's track, this. It lends itself to quality driving, tee to green solidity. Mansell, formidable with the big dog in hand. He's been threatening a DP World Tour breakthrough for ages. Yeah, we've been tipping him on the sweet spot since the old King died. He's had 9 top tens. He was 6th in the Singapore Classic in February, and he's been creeping back into form in recent weeks. Last year's British Masters, he finished 8th. Nobody outscored him in the final round. I think the pride of Cannock may well give the locals what they want this week. You know, a half-decent week of putting, Mansell's certain to be in the thick of things.
Lovely. And what do you make of Justin Rose's chances?
The fine young man. I mean, we're on the fine young man in the Canadian Open, weren't we? Finished 8th in that. But he hit one absolute shocker of a drive on the Sunday. You know, he looked like he was going to win the Canadian Open for us. He hit an awful drive, which changed everything. He made a double bogey. And that's been his problem lately. He's had some shocking drives in his locker. He's just been a bit loose off the tee. So on a course like this, the odds he is, I can resist him.
And one quick word on Minwoo Lee, who I thought I was expecting you to tip, because I know how much you love Minwoo Lee. What don't you like about him for this?
I think he's a huge danger man, but yeah, he's had a long journey from Connecticut there. He was in the thick of things in the US Open for a long way. I just think he might be a bit sluggish from the starting stalls.
Okay. Right then. So Liv and the PGA, the couple that divorced, hated each other, recently decided to jump back in and give it another go, but are still living in separate rooms. That's my analogy. There's still no word on how this is supposed to work. It's all very peculiar. We carry on as if they were still enemies. And this week we've got the Live Golf Valderrama, that fantastic course down in southern Spain. The usual field, the usual format, starts on Friday. Cam Smith, favourite at 15-2, Brooks Koepka 10, Dustin Johnson and Sergio Garcia 11, 16 Mito Pereira and Bryson DeChambeau, as well as Joachim Niemann and Harold Varner III. Oh, and Taylor Gooch, blimey. And it's 18-1 bar. Right then, Steve, tell us all about this one. Valderrama is a toughie, isn't it?
It is. It's in Sotogrande, Cadiz. 7,010 yards, par 71.
Cadiz.
Is it not in Cadiz?
No, really. Oh,
where's Sotogrande then? I just love saying the Spanish word. I thought I'd throw another one in.
It's between Gibraltar and Marbella.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, so it's within an hour's drive. It's not really relevant. Anyway.
I love throwing my tongue around these Spanish places. I just thought I'd throw an extra one in there.
Okay, mate.
but it's only 7,010 yards, but don't let that fool you into thinking it's easy. Par 71, 3 par 5s. It's hosted numerous DP World Tour events. I'll focus on this millennium. We've had the 2000 WGC Amex, the Andalusia Masters, in 2010, 2011, and from 2017 to 2022. The 2016 Spanish Open was also there. So, yeah, Valderrama, one of the tightest tracks in the world, I'd say. Thin tree-lined fairways, heavy rough, small greens, accuracy essential, and we've got some breeze in the forecast. So, yeah, the Liv guys, some of these Liv guys have never seen Valderrama, which a lot of them this week are in for a real shock. So, yeah, standard fare, 48 going to post, 3 rounds, no cut, $4 million to the winner. Shotgun start, 2:15 p.m. UK and Ireland time on Friday.
And where does one watch it again? It's the Liv Golf app, isn't it?
It's the Liv Golf Plus app, unless the new deal has changed anything.
There is no new deal, I don't think. No.
Deal or no
deal. I just quickly got to tell you, I bottled out of playing Valderrama once. I was invited by someone. And then when I found out that apparently that there's a bloke monitoring you on the first tee, and if you look like you're crap at golf, which I am, they frog, well, they don't quite frog march you, but they politely tell you that you can't play. And so there's no way I was putting myself through that. I mean, can you think of any, well, obviously there's plenty of things worse, but in a golfing context, that's absolutely tragic, isn't it?
That's immense pressure, isn't it? Surely they've got to let you finish a hole, because even the best players in the world sometimes hit a bad shot, don't they?
I know.
I've seen professionals top golf shots along the ground, and that. So imagine if you're Tiger Woods.
Yeah, but I think they can probably still tell if you've got a swing, can't they? You know. Anyway.
Yeah, they probably just look at your shape, don't they, and your golf bag and whatnot. Yeah. I think it's going to be one of the biggest regrets you take to your grave, to be honest.
I don't know. Anyway, notwithstanding that, who's going to win Live Golf Valderrama? How many tips have we got for this one?
We got two for this.
Okay, and who's the main selection?
I think the number one selection is the best golf bet of the week, actually. The 14-1 Sergio Garcia is a fantastic bet. Yeah, because you've got loads of course debutants going to this unusual track. I think there's some quality players that are turning up for the first time this week, and they're going to be in for a shock because this is so difficult and you need course experience, and you've got loads of old veterans of the European Tour that are in this field. They're the ones to concentrate on for me. I think course experience will be decisive, especially when you consider that these events are 54 holes. You know, there's no time to settle in at a venue in these live events. You've got to be right in your game from the off. Sergio Garcia started playing on this course when he was 13 years old, and he's been a regular at Valderrama throughout his European Tour career. He's won three DP World Tour events at this course. Two of those wins weren't long ago, Bruce. I mean, 2017 and 2018 and the Thea Masters. He describes Valderrama as his favourite course in the world. And we've seen enough of him lately to know that he's in good nick for this. He finished runner-up in Live Singapore at the end of April. Then he carded back-to-back rounds of 66 in a US Open qualifier. I mean, Garcia's been getting a lot of stick lately for being a bit of a troublemaker with all of the golfing politics. But he went and qualified for the US Open. That was a feather in his cap. He shows he still had a little bit of hunger there. Back-to-back 66s, and then he made the most of his ticket because he played well at LACC. Four solid rounds, 27th place. So, I think Garcia is the man to beat this week. He's usually the man to beat at Valderrama, obviously in lesser fields than this one. But, I'm very excited about Garcia this week.
I mean, the bookies obviously know everything you've just told us, hence he's much shorter than he would be for, a standard live event. But you still think it's worth taking on? You think they haven't quite got to grips with just how good he is around here?
I think you're absolutely right. They haven't quite got to grips with it. And I think the punting community agrees with me because, there's been a lot of blue on the odds checker, as they say. The opening shows were quite generous. There's still some 14-1 about. Gobble it up if you can. There's no one I'd rather be on. I think he's the most likely winner, which is a bold claim when he has a few players ahead of him in the betting, but I wouldn't have anyone ahead of him in the betting.
Right, you've got one more, and you're talking about journeyman European Tour Pro. So I think you're going to go for Henrik Stenson.
It's a ruddy good stab, but he's got a surprisingly poor record at Valderrama. And I am going to go instead for Ian Poulter, one of your favourites. It's 80-1.
Garcia and Poulter.
it's an exciting tournament, and you want to be on these veterans. Poulter won the Volvo Masters in 2004. I actually went to that tournament, and he was magnificent. He beat Sergio Garcia in a playoff. He went and he was
19 years ago. Who'd have thought 19-year-old golf form would still be pertinent?
Yeah, absolutely. No, he finished in the Poulter finished in the top 10 in the Volvo Masters for 5 years in a row from 2003 to 2007, including a victory there. He relishes this assignment, and there's been enough lately to justify this wager at juicy prices. He's been finishing mid division on the live circuit, 20 this, 20 that. I think the course edge that he has this week elevates him onto the first page of the leaderboard. And yeah, he's had a spring in his step since the announcement. A lot of the live guys, they all feel cock of the north now, don't they? Yeah, the golf in politics has put a spring in Poulter's step. And I think he's looking to put the icing on the cake. You'll see this as a great opportunity to put the icing on the cake of his live career. I'm guessing that the live circuit ends this season. I think they'll play out the season and this will be the end of it. And Poulter will want to get a $4 million check in his bank account, won't he?
Smashing. Okay, all done there?
Yeah, all done there.
Our final tournament then is the US Seniors Open, and it begins around about midday on Thursday. And Steve Stricker is 11-4 favourite. Padraig Harrington 4-1. Stephen Alker 7-1. And then it's 14 Jerry Kelly, 16 Ernie Els and Steve Names, and Miguel Angel Jimenez. The brilliant David Toms and Darren Clark and Bernard Langer are 28s, and it's 40 bar. Who hosts this tournament and what kind of player might it suit, Steve?
It's at Century World Golf Course, Stevens Point, Wisconsin, 7,218 yards, par 71. Century World opened in 1982, three par fives, four par threes. It's a long, flat course, lots of water hazards, large greens, fast greens, amazing flowers. Yeah, this is from my research. I can't get over how amazing the flowers are there. If you look at some of the aerial shots of Century World, you'll be an absolute.
Is it S-E-N-T-R-Y?
Yeah, Century World. Some of the most incredible flower beds I've ever seen. I'm not
up there with Augusta.
Yeah, I think it edges Augusta. Yeah, have a look at the aerial shots of Century World. I think your jaw will drop. I mean,
I'm looking forward to that.
Flower man, but that's my big take from it. But it looks difficult. It looks like a proper US Open venue. I mean, a few people are saying LACC was too easy, weren't they, the other day? I think the round bellies will have some problems with this one. But they've got a good weather forecast, sunny and hot, light breezes.
Okay, then, right. Who will bloom at this lovely flowery golf course?
I think
how many tips, Morton Point?
Just the one. Just the
okay.
one.
Okay, and he is?
It's Padraig Harrington, a friend of the sweet spot. He produced. Did you watch the Dick's Sporting Goods Open last week? I mean, he produced golf.
I recorded it.
I mean, for golf fans, it was sort of pornographic. I mean, because it was what Padraig Harrington did on that back nine on Sunday. It was the best golf of his life, he would say. I mean, he's been tweeting about it ever since. He says he's played 500 tournaments trying to produce a finish like that to win a golf tournament, and he's finally done it. He can't believe how well he played. Let me just take you through his closing holes.
Okay.
Birdie, 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 eagle, birdie, par to win by a shot.
Blimey,
O'Reilly,
that's a finish, isn't it?
Yeah, it was incredible. And, Pod's absolutely buzzing. And he's entering the Ryder Cup conversation, Bruce. This is the crazy thing. He's entering the conversation. Don't shoot the messenger. He's entering the conversation.
As we've said all year, Steve, there are vacancies there for some, once you take the big seven or eight out, there's going to be a couple of people on that team who the casual golf follower, when he engages with the Ryder Cup, he or she are going to go, who the hell's that?
But it
could be Harrington.
Well, if Luke Donald wants to load up on experience, I mean, the fine young man, Justin Rose, is probably going to get the gig. But if he wants a real, wily old veteran to guide some of the young guns, Padraig Harrington is playing so well, then he has to enter the conversation.
He's not going to pick Harrington.
But yeah, well, we shall see. Did you just have a glass of red wine at 10 o'clock in the morning there?
I'm drinking water.
Oh, that's water. I had a sort of dark edge to it. Oh, it's your shirt. It's going through your shirt. Yeah, I thought you had a tumbler of red wine there.
Yeah, I've got quite a fancy tumbler, so it probably made it look a bit tinted.
Yeah, cripes. There's no law against it. So, Padraig Harrington. I don't think he'll play in the Ryder Cup either, but I think the fact that he's entering the conversation shows how well he's playing. We've only had one show of betting so far, 4-1, I thought was perfectly fair. I mean, he's the longest driver in this field. This is a long course by senior standards, and he's the defending champion.
I've got to stop nodding briefly just while I see if I can find a price for him for the Ryder Cup, but I am listening, okay?
I hate to say it, but I think this golf tournament is a straight match between the front two. I can't see anyone else winning it. I mean, Steve Stricker, we have to give a huge mention to. I mean, he's going for the Grand Slam, as we've discussed. Remember our Stricker fever the other day? He's two down, three to go. Doesn't normally play in the Open, the Seniors Open, but if he gets the chance this time of going for the Slam, he's going to get on the jet.
Why would he not normally play that?
You just can't be arsed, if you pardon the the French. Yeah. He's just an age. He's 56. He just, I mean, it's a long old trek, isn't it? He just prefers hunting in Wisconsin.
Well, he's from Wisconsin, so...
Yeah, so yeah, he's playing his home state this week. For me, it's Harrington or Stricker. Which one do you prefer? 11-4 Stricker, 4-1 Harrington. I think Harrington with his tail up is the one to be on. You know, a high roller might suggest I'm going to back both. You know, but I'm back both at
a shade of odds against that. 4-1 and 11-4 is 47%. So yeah, round about 11-10, a little bit better than that.
High rollers will be sniffing around that, but I'm a member of the working class. I can't entertain that idea.
Okay, mate. Right, should we recap?
I think we should, because there's a lot of recapping to do, isn't there?
4 tournaments, 9 selections.
Yeah, 9 selections. So we've got 9 friends and 507 enemies this week. I worked it out.
Blimey.
Yeah,
so that's a good way of looking at it, isn't it?
Yeah, when
you look at it that way, the odds are stacked against us, but you never know. Let's hope we can defy them. Right then, who have we got for the Rocket Mortgage Classic?
Ludwig Aberg, Cam Davis, and Justin Sir.
The British Masters?
Adrian Moronk, Jordan Smith, Richard Mansell.
The Liv Valderrama?
Sergio Garcia, Ian Poulter.
And the US Senior Open?
Padraig Harrington.
Okay. And someone said last week in the comments, could you go back to Steve saying us what his one golf bet of the week would be? So what would your one bet of the golf bet week be?
For high-staking punters, it would be Sergio Garcia to win Live Golf Valderrama. For low-skating punters, it'll be a each-way quad of Ludwig Aberg, Adrian Moronk, Sergio Garcia, and Padraig Harrington.
Okay. Right, lovely stuff. We've got 3 next week. It's the John Deere Classic, it's the Made in Himmerland, and it's the US Women's Open. What have you got on between now and then, Steve?
I'm just having a very, very long birthday commiseration session. You know, I'm like you, I hate having birthdays now, they're just depressing, aren't they? But this one's been quite good, actually. I had a lovely weekend going to some nice public houses with my family.
When was, stroke, is it?
Yesterday. 45. Oh, yeah, I was 45 yesterday, and I'm just stretching out along. Yeah, I'm going camping on the Isle of Portland tomorrow with my pals. Going to let my hair down and drink some cider. You mentioned the commenters. I must thank the commenters for the advice I get on the gout. They're a fantastic bunch of commenters. Yeah,
incredible, isn't it? There's all sorts of ointments and cures being suggested. That's terrific, isn't it?
I take it all on board. I take every comment on board. Thank you very much. And yeah, they say cider is better than traditional beer for gout sufferers. So yeah, I'm going to combine cider with my gout drugs and see how that goes. I am a cider drinker. Have you ever heard of the Wurzels? Great.
Yes,
band.
Of course. Yeah, I've heard of the Wurzels. Yeah. Obviously, I've got a brand new combine harvester. It's a big one, but they've got one called what? I like cider.
I am a cider drinker.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it's absolutely brilliant. I'm joining that club now. Yeah, I'm a member of the Wurzels.
Lovely. I'm playing golf at East Brighton today. Have you ever played there?
Right. No, I haven't played East Brighton or
West
Brighton.
It's a lovely course, right? But I'm slightly concerned because one of the holes runs adjacent to the race course and they're racing there this afternoon. So I'm really paranoid that, say, the gates will open just as I'm driving and I'll shank one straight towards the field as they thunder along the course. I'd imagine there'll be a steward or something deployed to sort of tell us to wait until they've gone past, aren't they?
I hope so. I mean, we're talking about your regrets on your deathbed, not playing Valderrama. But imagine if you killed a horse with a golf ball. You would not be able to get over that, would you?
No, you wouldn't. But I'm sure they've got it all under control. In the meantime, we're back next week, like I say, to preview those. So good luck with your bets this week, Steve. Thank you very much for all your input to this week's show. Thank you very much to producer Will. Most of all, thank you, as ever, for watching. If you enjoy the show, please do rate, subscribe, like, comment. Yeah, let us know you fancy this week. And if you nail the winner, we'll give you a shout out next Tuesday. Join us then for another Sweet Spot.